most people really seem to focus on now really still are like macros, right? So they're just talking about protein, carbs, and fat. But those protein, carbs, and fat, they have totally different tastes and temperatures in TCM. So if you add that on top of it, which is a wonderful way to look at food, you can work with maybe your constitution. You have a lot of heat or you have a lot of dampness or whatever. You can actually make some changes that you might not have thought about.
Hey guys, we're excited to have Jillian Capiducci. Jillian is an assistant professor at Mount Sinai Hospital, where she leads the Integrative Urology and Wellness Program, bringing a fresh approach to patient care with her expertise in both acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine. I'm honored to have Jillian also as our scientific advisor at Nutri, where she provides expert guidance on best practices and product formulation. Hi, Jillian. I'm so excited to have you join our podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so let's go right into it. I'd love to hear your journey and how you first became interested in, you know, Eastern wellness practices, including acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine.
Well, it started a long time ago. I wish I could say it was from some long lineage of people, but that's not the case. But I just got interested in Eastern philosophy and then like Eastern medical healing arts by reading books when I was in high school and then in college. I was studying biology and chemistry in college and thinking about going into medicine. But I really just fell in love with some of the practices that I was reading about. And I went to get some acupuncture treatments when I was in college. And that sort of sealed it for me. I actually went into acupuncture, and here in the States, it's like a traditional Chinese medicine school. After college, I mean, I worked a little bit after college, but this has been my first profession and only profession. So I've been practicing for actually over 20 years now, and I love it. I still learn every day new things about the medicine and the art and so many things from my patients. And I just love the fundamentals of health. And I think we'll end up talking a little bit about that because I practice like in a very conservative, meaning Western medicine type setting. I'm in a big medical center.
Yeah.
Like in an outpatient.
About that.
Yeah. Like in an outpatient center, like a regular doctor's office. But I'm not in like a spa or like a wellness center or anything like that. I'm in a regular department. So
I think a lot of people think about acupuncture in a spa or in some sort of like wellness center setting. So I'd love to chat more, you know, about that later. But let's maybe, you know, for people that are not familiar with traditional Chinese medicine, can you break that down for us a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people have no idea what traditional Chinese medicine is. And maybe they think of one, we'll call them like modalities. Like they think acupuncture, or they'll think usually of TCM, they think herbs. A lot of people, TCM means I'm taking herbs. But really the way that I describe TCM and what it really is it's like a whole medical system, meaning it has all these different modalities and components that you can use to basically treat the whole person, meaning treat symptoms, treat conditions that come up, and also promote health. Obviously, you're not running to your TCM practitioner, TCM doctor, you know, if you break your arm, because it's not emergency medicine. But it really is a discipline in and of itself, TCM. And I like to try to get people to think about that using different modalities, whether it be acupuncture, herbal medicine, nutrition, all of those things are under the umbrella of TCM. And it's really a wonderful way to look at health, to promote health, to work with symptoms, to work with some of the things that we have as humans that are not necessarily life-threatening, but, you know, our headaches and our stomach aches and things like that.
So more around like the chronic.
Yeah, in a
side,
sense.
Right?
But TCM, you know, it's a whole medical system. So generally the modalities that it includes acupuncture, it includes herbal medicine, it includes nutrition, so diet and nutrition. Traditionally would include like manual therapy or Tuina, right? So like manual therapy techniques. And then different aspects of exercise and physical movement. So traditionally, that would be like Tai Chi. And then the mind-body meditation sort of approach, whether that's meditation, any particular style that you're interested in, or Qigong, breathing, things like that. So those are like all the aspects. I think some people will also say, oh, it could include even something like feng shui. But I'm not going to include that in this one, but I'll, but it's the concepts, right? The concepts of traditional Chinese medicine, the idea of balance and
Yeah, and I think, you know, the concept of qi, can you walk me through, you know, because that's sort of such a guiding principle within traditional Chinese medicine, right? If you could walk me through qi, and also when I'm reading about, you know, a lot of the TCM concepts, they're talking about spleen. Can you walk us through that?
So the first thing I tell you about qi is that it's not one, there is not one qi. There are many types of qi. So I think if you look at, when you break down the character, the radical, you can, if you explain that, and the bottom part of the character is a rice grain, the top part is a steam. So it representing something that is both a physical and potential energy. And like linguistic people, they will debate what qi, if energy is even the right translation, but that's usually commonly what we use. Sometimes you'll see qi translated as like life force or vitality. But right, think about what I just said about the character, rice grain and steam. So it's energy. It's energy being, you know, if you cook the rice, you have to cook the rice for it to provide energy. So think about that. But there's not just one type of qi. All living things have qi because we're energetic. Yeah. Beings, right? But there are different types of qi. There's the type of qi that you get from a nourishing meal. There is air qi, or qi that you're breathing in. And qi as energy is coming in and out of your body constantly through these means and is flowing through your organs, etc.
Yeah. And then what about your spleen and how are they interconnected?
So everyone ends up talking about spleen, I think, because we don't even know what like spleens do in our bodies in general. But if you go to a TCM practitioner, they're always telling, oh, your spleen, you need to work on your spleen qi.
Yeah.
So this is it's the idea that you have the same organs that you know, right? So heart, lung, liver, kidney, spleen, but they have different properties, different functions in TCM. So you have to think about the organs, and there are different principles of TCM. So or some organs store things, some organs generate blood and qi, some organs transport. So you have different organs like the spleen and the stomach, which are involved in your digestion, basically. Mm-hmm. And then you have organs like your liver and gallbladder, which are more involved in transforming blood and moving qi throughout the body. So when people that have no knowledge on TCM, when you start telling them about their spleen, usually that means digestion. So think digestion. But really it has to do with these different organs and how they act and their principles in TCM. And it also has to do with meridians in the body or conduits of energy.
Yeah.
So you mean meridian as well. Then you have a spleen organ. Mm. And for those that don't know, your actual spleen is actually an immune organ. That's a pretty large organ that sits in your body. It's part of your lymphatic system.
Yeah. I think it's something that when you don't think about TCM in, you know, outside of TCM, I think in Western medicine, spleen is not something that you think about whatsoever. Right.
Right.
So I find that really interesting. And maybe for people that don't understand the meridians, if you could go explain a little bit about that, I think that would really help.
I wish I had my meridian model in here, but the meridians basically are pathways of energy or channels. So it's a meridian channel, and they're based on these 12 organs, and the meridians, they either run from your hand into your chest or start in your chest and go outward, or they come from the face and go around the body and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So there are 12 main meridians and they run on both sides of the body. So if you have seen like, you know, an acupuncture model, you'll see all of these like lines going down and going to all parts. Basically, there are like three meridians on the inside and three on the outside, inside of the leg, outside of the leg, going up and down the body. Mm-hmm. So the meridians are pathways of energy, and that's where the acupuncture points are on. So the acupuncture points are on a particular meridian, and each meridian could have as few as, say, 11 points to as mm-hmm. many as 67 points. So the bladder meridian, for example, actually starts in the eyeball, goes all the way around the back of the head, down the back, all the way down to the pinky toe. 67 points.
Yeah.
Bladder
yeah.
meridian. But the lung meridian starts in the chest, has 11 points, and ends in the thumb. Mm. So the meridians are energy conduits, and they're basically all connected. There are specific acupuncture points that are on them, and those are all organized in very specific ways as well.
Yeah.
So meridians are
fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I went for a nasal acupuncture the other day, and obviously you would expect them to put them by your nose and then it goes up, and then it went in my stomach, my, you know, the tops of my feet, like it, my knees, like, and you know, you don't realize that it's all sort of, it flows throughout your body.
All connected, yeah. And think of it sort of like nerve pathways as well. Some people might be familiar with nerves, but it's similar in a sense, the way you think mm-hmm. about nerves coming from the brain and then going out. But yeah, I tell people like when they come for acupuncture the first time that yes, there might be some points that are around something that we're treating, but the points are going to be just like you're saying, like some like totally not related to my nose. Like I have points in my feet.
Yeah.
And that's based on the meridian. So that's based on the points on the different.
Yeah. And, you know, Jillian, I know you see so many different types of cases and patients. For a lot of people who try acupuncture for the first time, I feel like they're going for, you know, a certain sort of, maybe they have back pains or, you know, knee issues or joint issues. But, you know, can you walk me through, you know, like some of your cases and why people come to you?
Well, people come to me for all sorts of reasons. So people usually go to acupuncture or to try acupuncture. So as I was going on about TCM in the beginning, I will say that people usually actually come and are introduced to TCM through acupuncture, less so through herbal medicine or, you know, Tai Chi or something like that. So when they're coming in for acupuncture, usually it's for a specific symptom. Pain is probably the top reason that people seek acupuncture for. So back pain, muscle pain, joint pain, whatever. But they could also and often will come in for kind of something that might be more chronic. And I think often sometimes where maybe they're not getting help with some of the they want to try something natural. That's one reason. Or maybe they've tried things and they're not working. Those are some reasons that people will come in.
Yeah.
So when people do come in for a symptom, you know, you do a long intake, and just like you would if you were going to a regular doctor to find out what's going on. And then you get a treatment plan. It's not, you know, just one acupuncture treatment. You usually need several. And then you start to incorporate some of the other aspects into the treatment.
Jillian, I was just wondering, you know, you mentioned back pain a lot, but, you know, something like gut, how does acupuncture help gut health, for example?
So gut health, acupuncture helps gut health through TCM concepts, like balancing your spleen and stomach energy, maybe quieting down heat or helping to eliminate dampness. These are TCM concepts. But you can also look at acupuncture helping gut symptoms through a biomedical framework, which has a lot to do with actually the nervous system. So the nervous system regulates digestive activity. And acupuncture, the way that acupuncture works for gut things is to usually calm the nervous system down. There are definitely a bunch of scientists and clinicians that are doing some interesting research on acupuncture specifically for treating some gut issues like IBS, or just the symptoms themselves, you know, constipation, chronic constipation, or chronically loose stool, or, you know, chronic heartburn, things mm-hmm. like that. It basically works through both the TCM concepts, which if you're going to someone that practices with using the traditional medicine framework, that's how they're treating you. But the physiologic effects are probably through the nervous system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if somebody had gut issues, right? So if they had IBS, you would, you know, treat them via some acupuncture as well as the traditional Chinese medicine herbs? And how would you have like a full treatment plan for somebody who comes to you with something?
For gut things, you have to address everything. I mean, it's definitely something where TCM can shine because you do really need to address everything. You need to address the diet.
Yeah.
100%. You have to use some herbal medicine as well to rebalance things. Hopefully you can get the person thinking about the connection that they might have, a mind-body connection between their digestion and their symptoms and what they're eating, even how they're eating, things that might kind of be triggers for symptoms. You know, it's interesting, just as an example, I had some patients that came in after the pandemic that were working from home uh-huh. and doing well because they were working from home with their gut issues, but then they had to go back into the office and all of a sudden IBS comes roaring back, right? And there are a lot of factors there. A lot of people have different, you know, different, it's a slower behaviors at home. You're in your own bathroom. There's that, you know, probably the way you're eating, what you're eating. There's that as well. And then maybe the stress of being in the office.
Like the commute to the office.
All these things. So that's like a pretty obvious example of there's a really strong mind, body, and lifestyle connection between, okay, I'm working at home and like eating really well and having my perfect BMs. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, commuting into the office and I'm like grabbing an egg sandwich and like, I don't know where to go to the bathroom and my boss is making me nervous, you know?
Yeah.
So there are all these things. Some of them are in your control and some of them are not.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, for gut things, definitely all the elements, all the modalities, I think, are important. I think herbs really help kind of supplement because you're taking them for a period of time to just help rebalance your system. And then hopefully also that you work on your diet and work on foods. The idea of, you know, people have so many food sensitivities these days.
Yeah.
But in general, like if you think about the TCM core concept of balance, like you should be able to eat things uh-huh. in moderation, most things, without it like turning into a whole like throwing you totally off. You know, think about like, you know, you're eating, when you eat during a holiday, you're eating too much, you're eating greasy, heavy, sweet things. You should not be eating like that every day. This is just a basic concept of balance, right? If you do eat like that every day, it will eventually, you know, catch up with you in that sense. So you have to think about, you know, the idea that, you know, you have a foundation, and if your digestive energy is strong, that you should be able to have some sort of celebratory meal without hopefully being wreaking havoc on your digestion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know, especially for TCM diet, right? You know, having been brought up around TCM like food concepts, it's so ingrained in us. Like that food is very heaty and that's like very cold. And, you know, you've had a lot of hot pot, you're going to break out now. You know, can you break that down a little bit for somebody that isn't used to that? And I think for us, you know, I was just always like, okay, lychee is very heaty. I shouldn't eat so much of it. But I never really understand why it's heaty. You just know it because my grandma keeps telling me.
Right. So, I mean, I think that for anyone that hasn't grown up with it, you basically just have to learn about it and learn about that foods have different properties. They have different tastes. They have different temperatures and they do different things in your body. While generally, like you think common sense wise, okay, like a fish, for example, it's watery type food. It generally should be cooling. there are some things like lychee, for example, like you think, oh, that should be a cool food, but it's not because it's cloying, because it's sweet. You have to just basically learn about these properties of foods. And I think people do really love to think about TCM, like tastes and temperatures of foods. And it's fun. It's certainly really fun to think about. It's a totally different way to think about how you're making and creating a meal versus like, okay, what most people really seem to focus on now really still are like macros, right? So they're just talking about protein, carbs, and fat. But those protein, carbs, and fat, they have totally different tastes and temperatures in TCM. So if you add that on top of it, which is a wonderful way to look at food, you can work with maybe your constitution. You have a lot of heat or you have a lot of dampness or whatever. You can actually make some changes that you might not have thought about before.
So for somebody with like IBS issues, for example, what are the types of food should they be consuming? I know that's a very broad question because you did mention that everybody has a unique body constitution, but like, are there any foods that you typically recommend that we avoid and or, things that are really good for you? Any basics?
So that's a good question. The problem with IBS is it really is too, it's too heterogeneous is when people have IBS. Their symptoms could be loose, hard, stomach pain, etc. So it's actually kind of a difficult question to answer. But what can one do in general to for their gut? They can watch the quantity of food that they're eating. They can watch excessive fat. Some people really struggle with breaking down things that have a lot of sugar in them. Obviously, sugar is a big thing. And a lot of us do not eat enough foods that are really like priming our gut with for our flora. So, like for example, if you even eat like a quarter a cup of beans a day, just any type of bean, a cooked bean, white bean, black bean, mung bean, whatever, that is can change the balance of your microflora after like a week. So we're not eating enough nourishing foods, things that we know are good for our guts. We will tend to eat, a lot of us, less nutrient-rich foods and probably not thinking at all about like what's healthy for our guts.
Yes. Can we continue on that, on the gut microflora? I think that that would be really interesting for everybody to learn about.
So just changing your diet and like adding a specific food will change your gut microflora over time. The thing is, we don't, it's all this research is being done now. Like we're trying to figure out so many things about the microbiome that we don't know, but diet is going to be one of the top things that I think that we will have control over, and the sense that everyone is individual. It's whatever you're eating and what have you've eaten, it is something that matters over time. And I think that's why we're all really interested in diet, obviously, because we all like to eat and have to eat as well. But certain foods will definitely can definitely change your microflora. And I think nutrient dense food and things that do that, like fermented foods and higher fiber foods, those things that we don't know enough. So there's not, it's hard to make recommendations. The way that I make recommendations with someone is really listening to their concerns, what's going on with them, like really breaking down what they're eating and trying to figure out what they're sensitive to and what's working. And there's so many different aspects, not just like your gut symptoms. You have to think about your energy. You have to think about your skin. You have to think about how you're sleeping at night.
It's
To
all
think about how you're
encompassing.
performing. If people ask people, okay, are you eating? And then you're getting so tired at like 3 p.m. or you're eating a big meal and then you can't fall asleep at night. There's so many things as far as the gut is concerned that have to do with the diet. It's very connected to all these other symptoms and all the how you're feeling in general.
And then I wanted to go back to, you mentioned about balance, right? Because I feel like it's with diet, it's every day, right? So it's so hard to, you know, we have so many stressors in life and you're always thinking about like, oh my God, am I going to get the next promotion? Are my kids are okay? Like, and then there's, you know, and then you have to think about your diet. And in TCM, there's so many really, you know, hardcore principles. It's like, how do you, and but then you want to be balanced at the same time, right? Like, so right. For food, for example, and it says like, I shouldn't eat salad, but I'm trying to maintain my weight. Like what should I do?
Right. So that's a great question. In general, one of the things that I always say is that if you're doing well and kind of working in what works for you about 80% of the time, maybe 85, which is like almost 6 days a week, then you should be okay. Right. If you want to make a change, though, on a particular food, then that can be difficult. Like salad, for example, if you go to TCM and your spleen chi is deficient, your practitioner is going to tell you to stop eating salad for sure.
Yeah.
And start eating more cooked vegetables. Basically, if you want to adopt that prescription, you have to commit to it. So there's that. There's commitment to what you're doing. Commitment. If you can commit 80% of the time and start working on it, then it'll become a habit just like anything else. So for diet, for a lot of the making changes and being healthy, it does take thought. It takes just constant like education for yourself and learning about what's nutritious. And it also takes like, you know, understanding your body and your needs and everything like that. So it's a complicated answer. But it can be done.
So you mentioned that it is a gradual process, right? And I think that this concept is different from Western medicine, right? In that you go see a doctor and you're going to cure me of X, right? But it's gradual in TCM. Can you sort of break that down for me? What is it? Like, how is that different? How TCM versus Western medicine, and how does it complement each other, especially in your practice?
Well, one of the main things to remember is that the body has this tremendous capacity to heal itself. So it's basically doing it all the time, even when you're totally healthy. It's constantly being bombarded and renewing itself. One of the great things about TCM, even all these specific modalities, is that over time, they actually do make changes. So if you change your diet because every day, say you were eating a bagel for breakfast, which is, you know, you have to eat sometimes, but then you changed it to starting to eat, you know, quinoa with spinach and some sort of protein or something, it will take a little bit of time, but your body will, that ultimately is a more nourishing meal. It probably will help you if you're sensitive to gluten. It's not that you just have one bowl. This is just using nutrition example, one bowl of something healthy that all of a sudden, like, you know, this radical change. I tell people this all the time. If you ate cheeseburger and french fries and then ice cream every day, and then you had one bowl of broccoli, that one bowl of broccoli is not going to negate, you know, the months and months of cheeseburgers. But on the other hand, if you're eating, you know, your broccoli all the time, and then you have your one cheeseburger, you know, you should be fine. The other thing, think about the other modalities. Acupuncture, what it's doing is it's just nudging your body to do the healing process that it needs to happen for the most part. So whether that's a pain thing, so it's quieting down a pain signal and promoting the body's ability to heal itself, whether that's something that takes longer, like your IBS symptoms or your menstrual cycle, it's nudging it to do that. And the needles themselves are actually doing that, along with all the other things that you're doing, hopefully, the herbal medicine, the diet things, thinking about the mind-body. And it takes time, but a lot of things, if you tell someone, okay, you're coming in to work on your gut symptoms, you're coming in to work on anxiety or something, it definitely takes months. But eventually you will see some results for sure. There are times like when you have acupuncture and you have a dramatic effect.
Yeah.
There are sometimes that happens, which is great. Because maybe you were feeling poorly or you really had a lot of pain and you have a dramatic result. But there are also a lot of things that are cumulative and they take some time to reset, especially things that we don't have every day, like a digestive complaint or like a headache, for example, or your menstrual cycle. Those are things that take some time. Mm. But like in the body, all these things also take time. Like your hormone signaling does not just change overnight. It's a slow thing that might happen if, say, your menstrual cycle becomes dysregulated or your thyroid or something like that, or you're slowly gaining weight. It doesn't happen overnight. None of the things that we think that are happening, they really are not that acute, except for like injuries when we like throw our back out or whatever, or something like that. But even that could be happening because the core, you know, all the things are connected.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting, because I think that when you realize that's happening, you think that it just happened, right? You don't think about it. You don't really assess it, that it's been slowly, gradually, you know, happening to your body until it really is that sort of like it went over the hill and you're like, I need to see somebody and I need it fixed now, right? But with, you know, TCM and those modalities, it is really sort of, you need to be patient with it. And it is that foundation of good health that it does take time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think if you explain that to someone though, and say, and they're a new patient coming in and they say, I'm going to work on these issues. And you say, okay, these are some of the things, if you explain it right from the get-go, then I think that it gives everyone just a better understanding of what's going on. And it also just gives you more power to understand about how your body works and how it can heal itself with some of the things that you can do. And that's one of the most powerful things about TCM and just about, in general, whatever you want to call it, holistic medicine, integrative medicine, lifestyle medicine, like these things that we're talking about, they are all medicine, even though they're not prescription, even though they're available to all of us, you know, for the most part. But they're all aspects of medicine. So. Yeah.
And I think that what you brought up previously, that TCM and the concept of nourishment, I think you talked about nourishment, and that's something that outside of TCM, it's not something that you hear a lot about. Right. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think you have to thinking of nourishment beyond your actual food is a cool concept to think about. Thinking about like just, you know, activities that nourish you, you know, thinking about your emotional state and how that affects you and what you're doing to kind of replenish and recharge. I think that's really important. The concept of that we can all get burned out. And that, oh my gosh, we have to fix a burnout. But the thing is, we can prevent burnout if we had a different framework from the beginning, right? If there was more attention to restoration, work-life balance, all of these things. I mean, this I'm kind of like digressing a little bit, but nourishment is a good word to think about. As far as what's nourishing you beyond your food, you know, in your life, spending time with family and friends, you know, having alone time, you know, these things, making sure that you schedule in your protected time and plan vacations. Like these are all things that are nourishing and will help you lead a happy, happy, good life.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that you don't think about when you think about
But that's a concept. That's the concept of balance. It's a good concept we often remind ourselves of.
Yeah, for sure. I think that we're so goal, you know, we're really goal oriented, right? Like I need to get that like promotion, or I need to send my kids to this school, or, you know, it's just so many things getting thrown at you. And then you have your social media, and it's just like, I was speaking previously to like my yoga teacher, and she was saying that, you know, there's no time for us to pause these days, right? Mm-hmm. Because you want to fill that void. You want to fill that pause with something. So it's hard to step back and just pause and be content and then sort of like, and integrate sort of that balance and think about all the other things that you mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. When you're trying to talk with someone about how to integrate meditation, I think that using that concept and like just taking a time to slow down a little bit and to allow your brain to sort of maybe be, or to try to get into a state without being asleep.
Yeah.
That's one of the concepts of what you're working on when you're like a new meditator, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, with something like meditation, it is quite hard to get into because it's so, so hard to quiet the mind, right? That's one thing, right? And similarly, I feel like acupuncture, I know that meditation, acupuncture, it's different, but I think for myself, when I was scared of needles, how is it that similarly from like meditation, I thought I was really scared to get into that at first because I was really scared to quiet my mind and just be alone. What is your advice to like a first timer that hasn't tried acupuncture, or hasn't tried TCM, like, what's going to get that person if you're on the cusp and you're like, this is all I need to do this, but I'm too scared, or I haven't had the time, or I'm just making a million different excuses. How do you take that first plunge?
That is a good question. I would say that you take the first plunge by something that resonates with you. I think you could find something because if you have something that you want to work on, there's a reason that you want to work on it because it's bothering you. It's causing you a physical ailment. It's causing you emotional distress or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I think if you want to take the plunge into TCM and you understand that some of these modalities can help you, that they're there to help you basically to facilitate your healing journey, then you'll find one. And if you're averse to needles or something, you can start with acupressure. You could start with body work. You could start with moving your own body and then maybe get introduced into it in that way. You can just talk to people about their experience. Sometimes that can be helpful, sometimes not so much, but often can help. And I think that is a way to kind of get interested into it and think about how it might be useful for you.
And what do you think the biggest misconception is of TCM? Like when your patients come in, it's their first time and they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize, right? Because I think there's a lot of sort of noise around TCM that, you know, I was brought up by, you know, my grandparents. They were full on, you know, they practiced Tai Chi and Qigong and really like lean into TCM. But it's funny that, you know, for my parents, they were that generation, they were more skeptical, you know. They were like, oh, there's safety issues. You know, you need to pick a discipline. It's either Western medicine or TCM. You know, you can't integrate them. That was their sort of thinking, you know. Yeah, so I was brought up in that setting. And I think for myself, like I've made it my own where I was like, okay, I really do think for me, I do both. Like I definitely see my, you know, my GP for and specialist for certain things, right? But for me, like I think having certain things that I see my TCM doctor about, like my nasal allergies or, you know, some pain management here and there, like it's, for me, it's together. But for your patients,
you just answered it. Like that's the biggest misconception, that you can't do them both at the same time when you absolutely can. And the idea is, that's the idea of, like, you know, holistic medicine or integrative medicine, like the whole person and being able to use the different disciplines to heal your body. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest misconception is that you have to abandon one to try the other. That's definitely one. Or you have to try everything and then that's your last resort.
I feel like a lot of people, for a lot of people, like TCM is like sort of last resort.
So I hope that as people learn about TCM more and it, we, you know, that they'll realize that, oh, that this is something that I can use in conjunction, you know, in a multimodal, or maybe I want to try this first, because like I was saying before, a lot of people are interested in trying things that are natural. You know, so if we know that they're safe and there is more and more evidence behind them, then you might be interested in trying something from TCM before you tried something else, or together. You know, if you're on a medication, you want to come off of it, and there are some things that can be done, that's a great way to adopt TCM modalities into your.
And for somebody who wants to read about TCM, I'm curious, what are some reliable resources that you think one can access that information? I know that when I wanted to learn TCM and I went I typed that into the internet and it was just like, the world's the, like, it was just so confusing because there's so, everybody's saying different things and it's so overwhelming. Like, where, what's your go-to resource for some like basic but very reliable something to
read? I wish that I had a good answer for this. I don't actually have the greatest answer for this. If you want to read about like acupuncture, the scientific way, like the scientific rationale, you can read, you know, the main like health sites, like the NCAM, which is the National Center for Complementary and Alternative. I don't even know if they call it NCAM anymore. I don't even know what they call it now. They call it like the National Center for Integrative Health and Wellness. Like, you can read a reputable health site. You can read even WebMD or something like that. Mm-hmm. Want to read though about TCM, you know, I don't have the answer. I know there are some classic books that people read that kind of introduce them to concepts, but it's sometimes they're, it's too much. Like, you just start reading like two paragraphs about qi and you just,
yeah. I hear you.
There's not one great reference. I usually give people like short articles to read, and then if they get excited about it and want to read more, because like a lot of the most reliable information is like two textbook. There's too many textbooks. It's kind of too technical. So I have a terrible. I have no answer.
Yeah, I felt that way. Like, I was like, oh my god, it's just so many, so much text out there, and then reading about the spleen and qi and. It was all very overwhelming. I think the answer is like to see somebody like yourself to give them the...
So that you, yeah.
You know.
To talk about it. I mean, somebody that's really interested in philosophy, you give them, you know, tell them to read the Yellow Emperor's classic of internal medicine, but then they'll read it and it's not going to really... You might find it very interesting, but I don't know if it's going to teach you per se about TCM or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's difficult. It's
don't. Yeah. And so, I mean, tell me a little about your wellness routine. How do you...
Well, like my lifestyle and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big exerciser. I'm definitely a big exerciser because for me, it's important. It's actually a very physical job. So just from the physical perspective, I'm also like huge into weightlifting for women for bone density and for like perimenopause and menopause, because that is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, I definitely like to exercise. And I have actually recently, even though I don't like it, started doing cardio. But I do it because I know it has to be done. I mean, from in a practice perspective, like I do, if I don't have time to do my morning meditation, I'll just do a few minutes of stretching in the office. I always kind of go into the office, my office, my treatment room, and I make sure it's clean. And sometimes I'll do some smudging or whatever. I always just try to set my intention for the day and make sure my energy is clear. That's really important when you're working with others and sitting there and listening. And it's an energy transfer thing. So definitely that's, I always ready myself for the day. Like if I'm sick, I won't come in. I mean, I'm rarely sick, but I definitely will not come in if I'm sick because it's your energy. You have to be able to give your energy through the treatment. But my diet and stuff, people ask me this all the time about my diet. Like, is your diet perfect? No, I think my diet is like my 80% diet. During the week, and you know, I always bring my food for the most part for breakfast and lunch to work because my office is in Manhattan. There are many places that you can eat.
Yeah.
They all kind of, they're not that great. So I try. I just keep trying, just like the rest of us, you know, keep trying to be as healthy as possible and try to stay in balance.
Yeah. Thanks that's important. For sharing. I think that it's staying in balance and, you know, being there for the long game. I think, you know, it's a marathon and not a sprint.
Yeah. Yeah, the long game. Now, I like when I say, oh my gosh, I've been practicing for over 20 years. You think about every day you're coming in to the office and, you know, you're working on people. It's a physical, certainly a physical job. And the energy aspect is like really critical.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So I have one last final question for you. And it's, what's your personal secret to looking and feeling your best?
Looking at it. Well, you know, I mean, from more superficial side, I like to always wear something fun, more fun to me, even if it's something small, some accessory or my shoes or whatever. You know, feeling my best, I think that I'm pride to be optimistic. I'm an optimistic person, and I think that in general is something you have to remind yourself when you're having a tough day or things are not going so great. Being optimistic, I think, helps me to feel my best for sure. And hopefully you can sort of transmit that feeling.
Yeah, I love that. I think that optimism is something that we really need to remind ourselves on, like staying positive, and especially, sort of energy flow and setting that intention for the day. I really like that as well. So, yeah. And then also wearing something cute and bright.
Something that's fun to me. I mean, I do my own, I do my, Eastern techniques for my skin. I'm into hydration. I do my gua sha, get acupuncture. So all that is.
All of it. And it's all encompassing. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I think
Thank
we've
you so
learned
much for having
so
me.
much. I wanted to know for people that want to find you, how can they find you, whether it's social? Obviously, they can come find you in New York at Mount Sinai or practice.
You can find me through my website, Well Jillian, or I do on my Instagram. I think it's Integrative Urology. I have a food one that I haven't been doing. It was Well Jillian Kitchen, which I used to make all sorts of foods, but I haven't been doing it at all. But maybe I'll get back into it.
Yeah, I think that'd be so helpful for everyone. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Nucci podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love your support. Leave us a rating, drop us a review, or share it with someone who'd enjoy it too. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode.